Support for To The Point comes from Bausch & Lomb.
Beautiful and healthy-looking eyes? It shouldn't be a compromise. Lumify Eye Illuminations, developed by the experts at Bausch & Lomb exclusively for the sensitive eye area, to cleanse, nourish, and brighten. Lumify Eye Illuminations, only in the eye care aisle.
As much as we've learned about ocular surface disease, there is still so much yet to be discovered. The good news is, this creates a world of opportunity for eye care providers.
The goal of this podcast is to better understand this chronic and complex condition and keep you up to date on the advances being made in its diagnosis and treatment. So let's get to the point. Welcome to another episode of the To The Point podcast. My name is Jackie Garlick, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jesselyn Quint. Hi, Jesselyn. Many, many congratulations to you. Tell the listeners, what happened?
Oh, big life change. I am officially engaged, which is crazy. So I know I'm still processing it, right? It's so exciting and it doesn't seem real yet, but very, very big news. So yes,
it's so nice to see you. This is the first time seeing you since the engagement. So many congratulations to you. Wonderful.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Last week it's wild, but it'll be good. But other exciting things. Especially excited for today's guest on this episode. It's going to be so great. We have Dr. Crystal Brimer, and Jackie, you can tell us a little bit more about this guest, but she is one of the original players in the dry eye space. And the fact that she's on, I feel like I'm having a little bit of a fangirl moment because I just look up to her so much. And she's great. She's also so fun to hang out with. Like at CECO this year, like this girl can dance. She knows how to have fun. She's a total blast to be around, but she's also an incredible wealth of knowledge when it comes to dry eye.
Yes. So Crystal, if you ever gotten, printed out a Crystal report for one of your patients and then ever wondered to yourself, who is this Crystal? What is this report named Crystal? We're about to tell you. It's Crystal Brimer, everybody. Crystal, yay! Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. That's the best intro I've ever gotten.
By the way, the dancing, I forgot about that. Crystal, you might not remember this, but at CECO many years ago, we were at some ad board or something together, and you were saying how you were like, oh no, this was an evening thing. Anyway, we were at this evening thing together, and you were like, I'm going to go dancing. You want to come? And I was like, I'm not a dancer. So the fact that you said this to Jesselyn too proves you're a true dancer at heart.
I'm consistent. I am very consistent. Yes, if nothing else, you can count on me. And I think that, I love my colleagues so much, and especially my KOL buddies, and we get together on these ad boards and it's all business, and there's so much that we juggle on a daily basis, and our practice, our family, and then being on the road. And so when we can have those little moments where we just say, you know what? The day is over. Let's go have fun together. And I just cherish those moments. And maybe I'm a dork. I don't know.
No, not at all. I feel like Jesselyn and I are both very much having a fangirl moment. You have done so much in the dry eye space. For anyone listening to the podcast, everyone already knows who you are, but you have a private practice. You have the Dry Eye Institute. You have Hope in Sight. We'll talk about all of these things. You're so busy. I don't know how you do all of the things that you do. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us tonight.
It's my pleasure and honor. So thank you for inviting me. You're keeping me up a little late. So I had to, keep my caffeine intake just right.
I love it. I love it. So for, thinking back on, your dry eye journey, which is just, there are so many different huge accomplishments and milestones that you've crossed. When you think about when you first started to kind of get into it, describe that journey. Cause some of our listeners are interested in dry eye, or they're kind of earlier on in their career and just starting to kind of get in. So looking back, what are some pivotal moments that you remember? What are some like things that were big wins that you would totally recommend for anybody kind of navigating into that space, what advice would you have?
I think my journey is so much different probably than folks would encounter now. So I don't want to bore you with all my details, but one thing that really inspired me, I had a non-compete at the time and I was doing clinical trials. I was focused mostly on dry eye. I was lecturing a lot and I opened up a brand new practice once the non-compete was over and it was focused just on dry eye, but I still did routine care. I just wanted to do dry eye well and make it a foundation in my practice. And this was back early, the beginning of 2015. And I had been recruited to do the dry eye protocol for Vision Source. So I was very much had my head buried in the sand on trying to do that well, even though I had a brand new practice. And I was working with Oculus at the time with developing the software for the 5M and the Crystal Tear Report, and then presented that along with the protocol to Vision Source. And at this meeting, it was 4,000 people. This was, you know, pre-COVID. And it was amazing. And they sold more than in the history of the company since 1895. And I was so excited to be a part of something where I wanted to make it easier for doctors to do dry eye. And then fast forward a year, and I realized how hard it was to implement. And so many people had the intent, they had the motivation, but there was a fail because we were all trying to do it separately. And so that's when I spent 6 months developing Dry Eye Institute and the resources so that we could adapt those core resources for a 600 square foot office, a 6-location office, you know, whatever we needed. And meanwhile, practice was still going, still trying to do dry eye, still lecturing. Now I've got Dry Eye Institute and I was about to burn out again. And so I made a decision. I had my little book of epiphanies and I wrote in there, what's the worst that could happen? And so my thought process was if I took out everything except dry eye and I did this the way I really wanted to do it to take care of patients, what's the worst that could happen? And I counted up all my 92550s and my 92015s and all this stuff and said, I think I can make it. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made in my life. So for me, it was right to take everything out because I wanted to do it at that intensity and that level, and I couldn't be everything to everybody. But I'm constantly talking to doctors about, all right, that's not necessarily for you. Let's figure out how to do this well and get the outcomes you want amidst the glaucoma and the diabetic retinopathy and the contact lenses and all this other stuff. And so I think my biggest thing that I would encourage doctors is don't be afraid to make the capital investment because it's scary. And I hear this all the time at my DEI table. And one thing that I see as a kind of a pitfall is folks buying amazing, really expensive treatment equipment before buying the diagnostic. And we've got to have a story to tell them. We've got to help them see the explanation of why they need to do this and get that buy-in. And if we do it in the wrong order, we end up feeling like we're salesmen and we lose the staff buy-in and the patient buy-in.
That's a really great point. I think too, investing in the diagnostic, because I found like my patients really connect with pictures, right? When I can show them that report, when I can show them that video of how their tear film is breaking up across the front surface, then they understand the why. And then, but you're exactly right. If you jump in just with all of the fancy treatments, if your patient doesn't understand the importance or doesn't have that buy-in, then, you know, you're not going to be able to kind of return that ROI there.
Well, and you, like I said, you lose the trust of your staff because your flow gets slowed down. You're talking things to death. You feel like a salesperson. And that's not what we're comfortable with. And the way that we do it when we're just explaining and being that messenger, that's what we get to be. We get to be the messenger. We're on their team and making decisions together. And I love it.
Yeah, I think it's nice to be able to tell the patient the story. I mean, I have found dry eye patients are some of the most engaged patients to take care of. They're miserable and they've been suffering with this and they know what works and what doesn't. And so when you can walk them through, like, you know, Jocelyn, like you said, this is how fast your tears are breaking up, or here's a picture of your mammography, like it helps sort of put pieces together for the patient. So that's a really good point, is investing in even diagnostic equipment, you know, as well. Good point.
I really like that you broke down and looked at all your CPT codes, right? Like my business brain is like, I love that. Cause you know, as much as you want to be able to provide the best care for patients, at the end of the day, you still have to turn some form of a profit, right? To keep your doors open. And I think that's also why you really shine with dry eye too, because you've done a lot of dry eye billing and coding lectures. I certainly have learned a lot from you. And one epiphany that I had after talking to you and listening to one of your billing and coding lectures was that I think that I have a tendency to definitely underbill a lot of my dry eye exams, which is, I think, you know, where does that come from, right? It's definitely kind of selling yourself short. Sometimes these dry eye workups take a lot more chair time. You are going into a lot of in-depth questions and, you know, different diagnostics and whatnot. And so what have you seen kind of along the way as far as a lot of dry eye docs or even non-dry eye docs kind of billing for dry eye exams and services?
Exactly what you said. They're underbilling. These can be some of your longest exams, but yet we're slapping a 92012 or a 99213 on there, and it doesn't even make sense. And we have the opportunity to either bill the traditional way according to medical decision making or bill according to time. And the caveat to understand on the time billing is this is everything that's involved with taking care of that patient. It's not just counseling and coordination of care the way it used to be. You know, it used to be you had to have that statement that more than half of the time was spent counseling and coordination of care. Now, if you're reading a letter from another doctor about this patient, if you're writing a referral letter, if you're working on the chart after the patient's gone, you can still include those. What can't be included is time that's already bundled with another test or another procedure. So be sure that you're not double dipping on that. But if you're going to spend a lot of time with the patient or you find that you have, make sure that from the beginning you're setting that time clock when you walk in the door so that you're able to bill for it. Now, let's say that it wasn't over 30 minutes, so you can't bill for that 99214 based on time. You still look at the medical decision making and make sure you're diagnosing everything that's involved with that ocular surface disease. So on mine, I've already made these radio buttons where every single exam, every encounter, I've got all my diagnosis. Is it a primary or is it a secondary? Is it improved, stable, or needs improvement? So I have, gosh, I don't even know how many, there's probably 8 to 10 on my template, and it's ocular rosacea, it's Kaysica, it's epiphora, it's, what is it? Dimodex, blepharitis, neurotrophic keratitis, all these different things. And that way I'm managing multiple disease states. And that's another caveat in being able to bill the appropriate level.
Okay, I have a question on this billing for time thing. And I listened to your recent lecture on Eyes on Dry Eye, and it was so good. And as you can see here, I'm taking notes right now because I'm like, I know I am not doing this right. I was unaware that you could bill a 99214 based on time. If you said something about over 30 minutes, can you please explain? I spent so much time with these patients.
I know. Well, I don't have the grid in front of me, but it's very accessible. I can pull it up. But it's a time range. And so once you're into that 30-minute segment, you can bill a 99214. Just make sure that if you're doing an OCT in there or something else, that you're excluding that time.
Mm. And it doesn't, I thought that you had to have X number of exam components to bill a 99214. Is that still true along with time or no?
This is billed, it's billed just on time.
Oh.
Just on time.
Jocelyn, did you know this? I feel so out of the loop.
I just learned about this recently, but I think it's a new change too, because I used to think of back in the day that you had to like dilate, right, for level 4 and like some level 5 codes. And then they made the change in 2021 that you don't have to be, you know, do dilation. And so I think that is also an ode to why we as practitioners need to make sure that we're staying up to date on billing and coding procedures and rules and laws and everything, you know, that goes with that. But even not just a level 4, but if you have a brand new patient that it's the first time you're seeing them that has so many different, you know, kind of co-management diseases going on. And this is a question that just takes longer because you're looking at different things or maybe explaining different things. That could even be a level 5, right?
Right. No, I had two today. When I have my referral patients come in, because basically we're 100% dry eye now. So everybody, every new patient is a referral in for a dry eye eval. Those are 99205s because I spend a lot of time with them though. I mean, it takes it because we're going through all those differential diagnoses and determining that underlying cause. But the beautiful part about this is when you do that and you set the course for that plan, the rest of it is easy. It's just follow through. If you really take that time that's needed on the first time and you get their buy-in and you use what you know to create the plan of if this, then that, the rest is really easy. And that's what's so exciting is it the more you do it, the more comfortable you are with it, your verbiage, your tone, everything just becomes very natural.
I think that's good because so many of us, you know, in the dry space really want to do everything we can to take care of the patient. And we know that dry eye is multifactorial. And so you are looking at a lot of different things and trying to tackle that in, you know, like a 10-minute, 15-minute slot is just, you're not going to be able to do it in the most efficient way, right? You're going to have to cut corners if you do it in that time frame. And so sometimes when you're taking more chair time, right, then you have to think about like the chair cost that comes with that. And so I think that it's important for us to remember kind of those guidelines with the billing and coding, because if we are spending this much time, and if it is, I don't think we should be afraid to bill to a level 4 or 5, you know, as long as you're adequately doing the work and legitimately spending the time with the patient. And there is more than just kind of one diagnosis code that's there.
Yeah. And the thing is, make sure your documentation validates it. So let's take an extreme example. If you've got a simple refraction, simple nothing exam, and you're spending 45 minutes with there and your chart doesn't explain why, then that could be an audit risk where somebody objects. So make sure that chart, it mirrors why you needed to spend so much time with them, and what you did, how you educated the patient, all these things. The other thing that I would say about billing is, you know, if you have the equipment and that warrants it, then you can potentially bill an out-of-pocket dry eye eval fee, but be careful with this. If you don't have something that warrants this, then don't bill it because you can't double dip. You can't, let's say you were audited. You can't say, well, you know, this first 35 minutes was for Medicare and this other 20 minutes was for the dry eval. It doesn't work that way. You can bill your whole time to Medicare. Same thing with the pictures. You can't say, well, you know, these first pictures were the 92285s for Medicare and the rest of these are the out of pocket. No. But if you're doing something completely separate, for instance, when I do my crystal tear report, Medicare has already proven that they place value on reports, right? Because if you don't have your interpretation report for a test, they can potentially take back 20% of your reimbursement fee that they've given you. So what I'm doing for my dry eye eval fee, I'm giving them the report, we're going through it. I have my patient education book, which is 140 pages, and I give them that too. So whether you have one of those or you don't, create some sort of patient education package. It's going to make it better for your overall buy-in anyway, but it's part of your story of what will I say if somebody shows up and says, what is that $59 for, $99 for, whatever it is. Make sure that you've got an answer if you're charging something out of pocket.
Support for To The Point comes from Bausch & Lomb.
Beautiful and healthy looking eyes? It shouldn't be a compromise. Lumify Eye Illuminations, developed by the experts at Bausch & Lomb exclusively for the sensitive eye area to cleanse, nourish, and brighten. Lumify Eye Illuminations, only in the eye care aisle.
Is there something else besides the crystal tear report that would justify someone having this out-of-pocket dry eye eval cost? Like, are you seeing offices do other things?
There are things that aren't reimbursable, right? Like, let's say you're doing debridement and expression or red thread test or whatever your package is, but you just need to define that ahead of time. and you can have your own patient education package, but you need to have your separate code and an explanation of why this is not billable. And then you've always got to have an ABN on file with the patient's signature, and they have to be the one to choose option, you know, two of I'm choosing not to to bill it. So keep that in mind, not just for your dry eye eval, but for any procedure that you're doing out of pocket. When you're doing the other two little caveats, I would say, is when you're doing a test, you've got to order it in the plan and you've got to have an interpretation and report. And this does not bundle an office visit. So you can add a test onto an office visit. You don't have to worry about separating the diagnosis codes, but it needs to be something that influences your medical decision-making. So let's take 92285, for example, intersegment photos. If you're just taking a picture of something you see at the slit lamp, is it really influencing your decision-making? So you need to have in my, what makes me feel comfortable. So in my opinion, I like having something like the keratograph because then I can measure tear meniscus height. I have an automated redness score and I can see interferometry colors. So I can see oil on the surface. I can't get any of that from my slit lamp. So I feel very comfortable billing those anterior segment photos because they absolutely do influence my medical decision making. Now, switching gears quickly to procedures, the difference between the test and the procedure, you still order it in the plan, but and you still have to have something in a subnote. So you have to have an op note that tells what you did, what you advised the patient of, you know, and just that's it, basically what you did. The difference, though, is that procedures bundle the office visit. So if you bill for epilation of trichiasis, you have just forfeited your office visit unless you unbundle it with a 25 modifier and there is a reasonable or, you know, justifiable reason for unbundling it. And the thing I would be careful about with that is if the patient comes in and the chief complaint is, I need my lashes pulled, then you don't need to unbundle that. You know, if you put, I want you to come back in 3 months for plugs and the appointment type is plugs and their chief complaint says, I'm here for my plugs, you better not unbundle it. But if they're here for a 6 month follow-up, and we find that it's worthy to do plugs, that's different. You know, we're managing the Demodex and all these other things at the same time. And you make sure that your diagnosis for the procedure is not on the office visit, because that's another giant red flag that'll get it denied and questions raised.
I think knowing the ins and outs on that is so important because, as we had mentioned earlier, a lot of this diagnostic equipment or sometimes even treatment equipment can be expensive. And so you know, reasonably have to be able to know how you can, you know, at least pay for that technology in your office. But I think also like the crystal tear report, right, or charging kind of a dry eye evaluation, having just awareness that that's possibly even an option. Like if I was to go thinking about purchasing some diagnostic equipment like that, I would approach it in a different way, knowing that I could possibly kind of, you know, have some different areas of revenue stream to kind of bring that in, which is, I feel like something that nobody talks about, right? Because none of us really walk around talking about billing and coding or kind of talking about sometimes kind of the business side of dry eye. But it's an important part of it.
It's very important. And you know, most of our diagnostic tests don't bring in that much revenue. You think about a $40,000 OCT and we're getting $34 a pop for it. But what's even more valuable with something like this is the buy-in it creates with your patient and even with your staff on everybody feeling comfortable in their own skin that they're not having to sell something. They're showing the patient and giving them the options. We're deciding together and we move on.
You know, I've had my notepad that I'm taking notes on. I feel like I just am learning I probably am doing this all wrong now that we're talking about all this billing. But is there I listened to your lecture. I'm not absorbing well because I'm hearing it again for the second time. And I'm like, oh, wait, really? Okay, I got to write that down. Bill for time again. Is there a place where people, because you've lectured about this in like multiple times on billing and coding, is there a place people can go to listen to one of your lectures? Do you have them Are they out anywhere? Do you know?
There's probably random ones that were sponsored by corporate, but no. But let me tell you, the best way is if you want to know that kind of logistics, you want billing and coding, you want marketing, you want staff training, patient education, you want a good core clinical protocol, just come to Dry Eye Institute. It is worth every dime and every minute you invest. I feel like it's life-changing, and maybe that's an overstep, and obviously not for everybody, but I get group texts from my DEI groups every day from multiple groups. There's never a day that goes by that I don't get at least 5, 6, 7 texts from attendees. And so apparently you inherit me afterwards because we're in this together. I don't disappear. And what's beautiful about it is they have each other. When they leave, this is 11 doctors. That's it. And you're together for 2 solid days. And it is very intense. There's not a lot of bathroom breaks, but we have fun. But it's about full immersion, but yet giving you the resources you need to put it into practice Monday. And that is something I'm really adamant about is what are we going to do Monday? What you going to do? And then, you know, holding them accountable and sending out messages. All right, what are you guys doing? When I see them at shows, what you been doing? Tell me about it. But I am so excited. I've been working on this and looking forward to this reveal for about 3 years. It's been on my mind. And finally, in the next month, we're going to be ready. We're launching Dry Eye Institute On Demand. And what this means, I know, this is huge.
It's huge.
Yes. Well, before you had to lose 2 days' revenue, fly across the country, get a hotel, all this stuff, and pay tuition to be there. But even when I had virtual classes, you had to lose 2 days of revenue because we did them on Thursday and Friday. That is a huge sacrifice. So with this, you can do 2 or 3 hours at a time whenever you want to. And it's going to be 17 hours of COPE CE accredited hours.
Oh my
God. So I am so excited. It has been a lot of work. And when we get done, I've got another call. I'm trying to just finish out the platform because it's not just for new attendees. This is going to be an alumni platform where I have all these beautiful resources on there, like customized forms, and here's your turnkey kit for this, and here's some new DEE videos that I made, and here's vendor deals and all this stuff. So yeah, very excited. When we're talking about out-of-pocket procedures, you know, one of the big challenges is whether or not a patient can afford it. And one of my favorite things that I've been able to do in my practice is we created a nonprofit, a 501c3, and it's not actually in the practice. It's just something that my practice uses. But when a patient can't afford a procedure or a treatment or vitamins or whatever it is, I hand them the card and I say, there's a foundation in town that helps cover advanced dry eye procedures that aren't covered by insurance. The patient has no idea that I have anything to do with it, but it is just even the playing field where I know if a patient needs help, that they have a chance to get whatever treatment they need, regardless of their income. And this year we finally had our first fundraiser and it was a huge success. We raised $32,000 and it has just been such an honor to be a part of. And so I challenge all these docs out here that are doing these out-of-pocket procedures. Don't be afraid to get out of the box and do whatever you need to do to be able to take care of your patients.
I love that. Well, congratulations to you on all of that hard work, but you are leaving behind a huge legacy. I mean, not that you're leaving, but just like you've built such a huge legacy that you are shaping and helping teach, you know, like, you know, future dry eye generations, which is really cool. So if somebody wanted to find the Dry Eye Institute, should they go to the website or what's the best way for them to kind of stay in the know or sign up?
Yes, do that. Go to dryeye.institute. So there's no com, people. dryeye.institute. And then all the information's there. And this should be launched within the next month. And it's going to make not just the new offering even better, but it's going to make the offering that I have for my alumni even better. We're going to have a forum where everybody can ask each other questions and ask me. And what I love about this is, you know, if if somebody went through DEI in 2018 or 2019, and I'm thinking, but there's so much more now, and I want you to know about this. I want to do an extra hour or two on aesthetics. I want to do more on lifestyle, this and that. And now I can just pop it on there and send out an email that it's here. So yeah, excited.
Oh my gosh. That is so exciting. Congratulations on that and all the other things that you have accomplished. You really are, I mean, an incredible mentor to look up to and see how, your career path and all the things you're doing. I mean, literally, Jesselyn and I are like,
oh, thank you so much. I want us to do things together. I am built, I'll tell you, I realized this at some point along the way. I can get up in front of thousands, but that's not how I'm wired, because I don't want to just make a little touch. You know, I want the folks who are ready, and I want to just help them transform everything, where they look back and they say, that was a line in the sand where things are different now. That's what I'm built for, is trying to help that create that ripple effect so that the doctors are more fulfilled. I've been burned out twice, so it happens, you know, and I was able to recover from that second one, but it happens. We pour ourselves out to our patients and our staff and our families, and you get to a point where you're like, my gosh, is there anything left? And so I realized how fulfilling this is. I had a lady, my last patient of the day, they're coming from New Jersey to see me. And it's just, this woman has been 7 years, Johns Hopkins, all around the country. And she's here. And I have no doubt we can make this better. And she cried probably 4 times sitting in my chair today and gave me the biggest hug on the way out. I gave her this t-shirt that says, "We are fearless." And I'm just, you know, we're doing really amazing things as an industry. We're able to transform lives. And I want to help equip as many doctors as I can to feel that empowerment and that fulfillment that comes with it.
I love it. I feel like I need a fearless shirt too. Like, yes, you lead us. You will follow. Absolutely. But on to the point, we ask every guest what their life lens would be. So what is something that you couldn't live without, or has been a game changer, or something that's just really kind of transformed your life, even outside of the office? What would your life lens be?
That's easy. That would be my dog, Daisy. And she is 52% golden retriever, 20% Great Pyrenees, and 12% Chow Chow. And I brought her into my life for the practice because of my patients who are struggling with anxiety and stress and depression. And the reality is I brought her there for them, but she brings so much to my life by having her at work with me. And you guys, like I said earlier, you're pouring out on everybody, and just to be able to hide away behind the wall for a second and just give her a hug, it means the world. So every patient, she runs out there and greets them. She walks them from room to room. And when I've been in with a patient for a long time, I feel like she senses something's wrong. She walks in and gets between my knees and their knees and just nudges them. So she is a fan favorite.
That's awesome. Amazing. Yep. Fellow dog lover here. Totally get it. Absolutely support it. I think that's amazing that you bring her to the office.
I'm sure the patients love it. Have a cute little dog go running around. It's
definitely. Cute. Jackie, do you have a life lens for this week?
Okay. So we're talking so much about diagnostic. This is going to be not lame, but this is going to be optometry related. I feel like everything I've said so far has been non-optometry, but my last patient of the day really reminded me how much I appreciate my slit lamp camera. Okay. I have the Marco. This is not sponsored. I have the Marco Ion camera. I love that camera. Patients love seeing it. I was finished the day with a tear care. So I'm showing her this amazing expression, and this patient is loving it. We're both like, oh my gosh. And I airdrop it to my iPad and she can see it. And I'm like, this is insane. Anyway, like I just love being able to show patients that in the same way we were talking about earlier, just showing them the story, explaining why they have X, Y, or Z, and then being able to see sort of, you know, treatment results is I love that camera. It's great. They should pay me to say that, but they're not. This is just me saying it.
Marco, if you're listening.
If you're listening. What is yours, Jocelyn? What's your life lens?
Ooh, my life lens. I like to find unique products for people. So lobster lotion, which I know sounds crazy. But there's this brand called Marin, M-A-R-I-N. And they are based out of Maine, which is how, you know, they're local to me. So that's how I found out about them. But they ship internationally too. And they take lobsters from like restaurants and they somehow kind of harvest out the glycoproteins. And so they put that in a hydrating lotion. So it basically helps kind of create a better skin barrier. And I'm telling you, this like lotion is a game changer. So I feel like, you know, we sanitize our hands like every 5 minutes in the clinic. And so I'm always just hyper aware of hydrating. And this lotion, it doesn't leave like any like slimy, oily texture. It absorbs really quickly, but it does help create a really good skin barrier. So lobster lotion, AKA Marin, that's my kind of been my life lens for, well, we're coming off winter now, but this winter season.
Well, Jocelyn, if you were using Pure and Clean hypochlorous acid as your sanitizer, I don't know if you would need it.
This is true. Yeah, you told me about this tip, and now I'm rethinking my whole entire office cleansing, sanitizing.
Oh, it has been fabulous. We bought those wall dispensers and just in every single room do it when I walk in and when I walk out, and I haven't needed lotion all winter. We could go on all night long with all this, couldn't we?
We could. I love it.
Save the lobsters, Jocelyn. Save them.
I know. It's good to just have options, right? We've got a sanitizer option. We've got, you know, an option for taking pictures of the anterior seg, and we've got an option of helping patients with their anxiety. So I love the life lens.
Well, and see, Daisy would be licking the lotion off your hand. I'll occasionally do that.
I love it. Well, hopefully I'll get to meet her in person at some point. I guess with the Dry Eye Institute on demand, nobody probably gets to meet Daisy then. You need to do like a special clip so that everybody can meet her.
Absolutely. You're right. I'm sure she's in there somewhere.
Well, thank you so much, Crystal, for being here. It was an absolute pleasure and honor to talk with you, learn from you. Thank you so much for telling us all of your kind of expertise along the way and all about billing and coding. I know that I've had a great time and I've already learned so much. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah.
I have had a great time. I just appreciate you having me. You make me feel like a rock star.
You are. That's why we're like fumbling over our words here. We're like so excited you decided to come. It's great.
Thank you so much. Let's do it again.